The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. When Joshua and the Israelites came upon Jericho, the city was shut up tight against all invaders and appeared to be impenetrable. But when God is in the matter, no fortress is impenetrable. Join us today as we see God's deliverance of Jericho into the hands of the Israelites. He made the walls fall down flat. Due to the length of this sermon, we won't have a song, but we'll go straight into the message.
I want to go back to the book of Hebrews tonight. We spent quite some time in the 11th chapter, and it is indeed a good chapter to spend time in. We've talked about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and we just finished up last time with speaking of the faith of Moses. Of course, this is the great chapter that we call the Hall of Faith, and these are the faith heroes that have been set forth for us, and we've already seen that the primary reason that I believe the Lord set them out for us here is that we might be encouraged to have more faith ourselves and to act and live in faith. Tonight, we're down to verse 30 and 31, and we're going to primarily deal with verse 30. We now have finished up with Moses and the Exodus, but as you recall, that after Moses was not permitted to go into the promised land, but Joshua led them in. And here's what it says in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, I know you've heard the children's song, and if I could put a title on this message, I would call it, When the Walls Came A-Tumbling Down. And they came a-tumbling down by the power of God, but through the faith of God's people. In Hebrews here, we just read, it says that they fell by faith. Now, we know it was the power of God, but what does that mean? Why? What is he talking about when he says the walls fell by faith? Well, one of the things we need to remember about faith is that faith is powerful. Now, faith doesn't get us to heaven. Faith does not. You have to have the new birth in order to even have faith. And there is a measure of faith that's implanted in us in the new birth, but as I've said so often here in this series, faith has to be exercised in order to grow. It's just like a muscle. If you have the muscle, it can atrophy. It can just stay the same, but you can work it out and you can grow the faith. Brother Mason's a perfect example of that. I look back at some pictures that pop up on my memories from 5-6 years ago when he was in high school. He was this wormy little thing. I mean, he was just this little skinny guy that didn't look like, you could, a slow, small wind would just blow him over, And now look at him. He's worked out, you see. He's worked his muscles and he's built up. And now he is not in that category. He's in the category of, I still tell him I can whoop him, but I'm not really sure I can, so don't let him know. I'm sure not going to test it. So, but the point is this, is that by working out our faith, we can build up faith. And that's the idea here in this hall of faith. So that's why Hebrews, which is inspired by God, says by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. So what is he talking about? Let's turn back over to the sixth chapter of the book of Joshua, and we'll read a little bit and maybe we'll probably stay in this sixth chapter throughout the night. Now notice that we're right in the middle of the book that tells us about how the children of Israel, under Joshua's leadership, went in and conquered the land of Canaan. You remember they weren't allowed to go in because of their sin for 40 years, and they wandered in the wilderness. But now Joshua is leading them in, okay? And chapter 6 and verse 1 says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now the first thing we're going to see here is that these children of Israel were facing an impenetrable wall. They were facing a city that was walled up, and according to man's standards, there was no way to get in, okay? And notice, the city was in their way. This was the first city they came to in the land of Canaan. Jericho was the primary obstacle between the Israelites and their goal of Canaan. And isn't that always the case? Isn't there always an obstacle? When God calls us to something, there's always something that gets in the way. You know, God didn't tell us that it was going to be easy to walk by faith. As a matter of fact, by definition, it's hard to walk by faith. That's, you know, faith, it doesn't look good from the circumstances. You know, you wouldn't need faith. If they walked down the hills into Canaan and the land was wide open and the people were saying, come on in, we're just packing up to move out of your way. They wouldn't need faith. They say, great, we can just start planning our day and move on in. But see, the very definition of walking by faith means that there's some problem in your way. Because you don't need faith when there's no issues, there are no problems. The circumstances here look bad. The city was straitly, that means it was very successfully shut up. It was closed up because of the children of Israel. It was shut up tight. You know, when they looked, they couldn't see anybody coming in or out. You know, maybe they had this thought in their mind that maybe we can slip up on them. You know, they had sent spies in there already. Stealth might have been better, but this city was ready for them. This city was ready for them. They looked down there, and they faced the obstacle of this impenetrable wall. And you know, sometimes when you see something that looks impossible, your mind begins to run away with you, you know. This city is too powerful for us. This city is too strong for us. This city knows they can beat us. This city is prepared for us. But you know, sometimes our judgment's wrong. Maybe the reason the city was shut up against them is because they were afraid of them. As a matter of fact, that turns out to be the case. Rahab the harlot teaches us that. We're not going to talk about her tonight, but we're going to talk about her next time, Lord being our helper. And now they see an impossible situation that from man's standpoint, it looks impossible. I mean, the spies that came back didn't come back and say, hey, here's the way to get in. They didn't have any plans. They didn't have any approach, okay? It's an impossible situation. So what are they to do? Let me ask you this. How many impossible situations has God ever faced? Think about that. How many, you know, it's impossible for us. You know what the most impossible situation is? You can go over to the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, and read about it. You read over there about a man who came to Jesus, a rich young ruler, and said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? He's trying to work his way to heaven. And Jesus points out, I believe, implicitly, and of course, if you put the rest of the scripture together, you'll see that man was already born again. He was already on his way to heaven. He just didn't know it. He just thought he'd been taught something differently and thought he could work his way there. And ultimately, Jesus said this He talked about how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier than for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And you know what the disciples said? How then can anyone be saved? And here I believe Jesus is talking about eternal salvation. He says this. He says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You see, the most impossible situation that God ever faced was the impossible situation of the salvation of his people. It was completely impossible from every circumstance you could look at it, from every, you take that ball and you turn it every which way you look at it, it's just no way. And yet God made a way, you see. Things that are impossible with men are possible with God. See, they took it as a sign. Some of them probably took it as a sign you just can't get in, okay? But again, you know, as I said, maybe it's not a sign that you can't get in. Maybe it's just a sign that they know they can't keep you out. Maybe that's what it is, you know? Maybe, because here you've got an impossible situation that they could not do anything about. But the other thing about God is this. It's so precious and so such a blessing. You know, he could have saved us eternally and then not told us anything about it. He could have saved us eternally and just left us here to wander around on our own till we get to heaven. You know, he could have taken that approach that the deists say. He just wound up this world like a clock, and then when it winds down, he'll take us all home. But God has communicated to us. He's communicated to, back in that day, he communicated face to face, one on one, in different revelatory ways. Today, he gives us his word. But I want you to notice what God says to Joshua. Look in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Notice what he said. He said, I have given into thine hand Jericho. He didn't say, I will give it. He didn't say, I'll try to give it. He didn't say, I might give it. He didn't say, I hope to give it. He said, I have given. Now, you know what this means? In the mind and purpose of God, this means that the city was already taken. The city just didn't know it yet. That's what we're looking at here. You know, the city was already taken. As far as God was concerned, you know, I can just see Joshua, though, when God says, I have given this city into thine hand, talking with God and then turning around and looking at Jericho and saying, But it's still shut up, and it's down there, and I know what you say, God, but it sure doesn't look like it. Sometimes what God says does not look like what you see. So what do you do in that circumstance? How do you handle it? You know, now there's one way to handle it. You can just, you know, lose your mind and the sky's falling and, oh, there's nothing we can do, woe is me. Or you could just trust God and what he said. See, because God's a communicating God. God's told us. God has given. And he's done this before, hasn't he? I mean, he's, don't we read over in Romans 8:29 that we're glorified? Or 8 and verse 30, that we're already glorified? We don't look glorified. I'm not glorified. I was struggling to get ready for church, you know. I was kind of sleepy, kind of tired, kind of, you know, here we go. I'm not feeling that great. And yet, you know, and yet God says I'm glorified. But you know why? He's the God that calls things that are not as though they were. And he can say that, and he's right, you see. But they were, so Joshua here is facing an impenetrable city. It's an obstacle that man has no way of getting into it. And no doubt, he was also facing internal doubts. So, you know, that's what happens, isn't it? When we see things that don't look like what God says they are, and we see them with our eyes, and our vision is on the things around us and the circumstances, then we start struggling with doubts. Because listen to what God says you're going to do. So God says, I have given the city. Okay, even if Joshua, and of course we read that Joshua did believe this, but step back, take one step back and pretend you're on his war council. Pretend you're one of his generals, okay? And So here's what God says to Joshua. He says, Ye shall come past the city, all ye men of war, go round about the city once, that thus shalt thou do 6 days. The 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day shall ye come past the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So God tells Joshua this. Now we're on his war council. We're the men of war that are helping him direct the troops. And we see Joshua talking to God over there. And Joshua's probably nodding his head, grinning, and all. And he turns around and comes back. He says, "Okay, guys, I got the plan. Okay, good." Because I'm sure we've probably been talking among ourselves. We've probably been thinking, "Let's see, maybe we can slip up at night and chip away at the wall. Maybe there's a drainage chute that we can go in over here. Maybe there's this. Maybe there's that. Maybe we'll just do a frontal assault with a battering ram." You know, I don't know. I'm sure those generals were speaking among themselves. "So what's it going to be, Joshua? Tell us how we're going to take this city." "Okay, here's the deal. First of all, the priests are going to go first." "What? Wait a minute. They don't fight, right?" "No, that's okay. We know God told us that he's with us, you know, between the cherubim, and he's with the Ark of the Covenant and all that. So, okay, we give you that one. They're going to go first. And the first thing we're going to do is tomorrow we're going to go around the city one time. Okay? Okay, great. And then attack after." No, not tomorrow. "Then we're going to come back and we're going to eat supper and we're going to go to bed." "Okay, all right, well, okay. What about the next day? We're going to go around the city again." "And we're going to be shouting insults and threatening." "Nope, not going to say anything. We're going to be quiet. We're going to be completely quiet. We're just going to walk around the city. We're going to do this 7 days, okay?" "Okay, well, maybe, okay, so then Joshua, are we going to, that 7th day, we're going to really be just kind of lulling them into a false sense of security, and then you've got some battering ram that we're working on, or we got some ladders that we can go, that we're building that we can go." No. On the 7th day, after we get around that city, we're going to shout, and God is going to knock the walls down. And they're like, "Joshua, have you been drinking? Are you sure you're in your right mind? That doesn't sound like any plan that any general would come up with." But you know, the truth of the matter is that isn't a plan that any general of men would ever come up with. You know, I'm sure some of them were thinking, you know, "We've already sent those spies in there. Maybe Joshua just hadn't told us. Maybe they've set some traps. Or maybe there's still a spy inside that's going to open the gate." But all they had really done is gone in there and hidden in a harlot's house and come back. You know, this is the point where the internal doubts could have taken over. This is the point where it would have been easy for Joshua even to just turn back, because the city shut up to them. "My goodness, our leader's acting crazy, telling us this crazy plan. Let's just turn around and go back to the wilderness. We made it for 40 years out there. Maybe we can make a life out there." But you see, one thing that I believe, we don't read about anybody doing that, because I believe they also understood, as did Joshua, that God's ways are not our ways. God's ways and man's ways are nowhere close. God's ways are so much higher than man's ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways than our ways. And see, I'm sure they knew their history, because they'd seen this before, hadn't they? They'd seen God's plans that did not seem like they had any potential for success whatsoever. And God comes in, you know, when you're looking at a circumstance and you start trying to calculate and figure how to get to it and how to fix it, God comes in very often and says, "No, you're just get out of my way. This is how we're going to handle it." Men were so wicked at one day that God said to Noah, "Build a boat." He built a boat in a desert where there was no water and there'd never been any rain. And he delivered Noah and his family. He told Abraham, "Abraham, your seed is going to be through your son Isaac. It's not going to be Ishmael. It's not going to be any other child of yours. Isaac is the one that's going to be called the seed. That's the seed through which the Messiah is going to come. He's the promised one. You're going to wait many, many decades for him, and he's finally here, and now I want you to go kill him. What? That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? That doesn't sound like something man would do. You want to protect him, but he says, go sacrifice him. You know the outcome of that. God showed in a as explicit a way as there is in the Old Testament what Christ was going to do for us when he stopped his hand and substituted that ram. The ram that was trapped in the thorns in the thicket there where it lived. Isn't that something? The ram lived in that. How could he possibly get caught in that? But yet he did. He told Joseph, he put Joseph in the palace, but he started out in the pit. Isn't that something? He went from the pit to the prison to the palace. He told Gideon, he said, Gideon, he's going to tell Gideon, in the future, he's going to say, Gideon, you just got too many people here. You just got too many soldiers. You need a smaller army. You need a smaller army, said no general ever. Right? Said no general ever. But God said, you need a smaller army. He's going to defeat the Philistines using a boy with a slingshot. Later on, the church's chief theologian is going to be its greatest enemy, a man named Saul of Tarsus. You look at Saul. As Saul began his journey to Damascus, as he's slipping by, as you're hiding, as you're a Christian in that day, and you're hiding in the bushes trying to avoid Saul of Tarsus, and you see that man go by, you say, Lord, please deliver me from such as he. There's no way he could ever be anything but an enemy to your kingdom. And he comes back, the Apostle Paul. You tell me God's ways aren't greater than our ways. You see, Paul will write himself, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. He's not saying God's foolish or weak. He's just making a comparison here to say that if God had any foolishness, it would be so much, you would prefer the foolishness of God to the wisest guru in the world. Think again what we've already talked about this. What about the redemption of his people? I mean, everywhere else you read in the pantheon of Greek pagan histories and mythology and all the other mythologies of the world, some great war leader rises. Some demigod comes up and delivers the people. In this case, the Lamb of God was sent to take on the flesh of humanity and to die on a Roman cross to redeem his people. Now, who would have ever thought that up? Who saw that coming? Other than those that stayed in the Word and could read it, but even, I almost understand the incredulity of the Pharisees, because you're telling, they were expecting a great political war leader. They should have been ready and they should have known, but that's not in human nature, is it? We're expecting something great. We're expecting the Terminator to walk out and to be there prepared to deliver us. And yet, instead of the Terminator, we had the Redeemer who came in as a babe in a manger and who died with thieves on a cross. And yet that was the greatest deliverance that history has ever known. See, the internal doubts will dissipate when we remember who we're dealing with, because what happened here, instead of as they faced that impenetrable city and they faced those internal doubts, instead of letting those stop them from going forward, by faith they followed their omnipotent God. And that's what we see here. That's the example set for us. That's what he's talking about when he says, by faith, the walls of Jericho came down. They weren't faith healers. They weren't name it and claim it preachers. They weren't the prosperity gospel preachers that said, let's just walk out there and say fall down. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about faith that follows God. That's all we're talking about here. It's not some kind of powerful, something that's powerful within men, but it's something that's powerful in obedience to God. Because you see, when God speaks victory, the victory is already won. And that's what he's already said. I have given you Jericho. I have given into thine hand Jericho. And I'm sure Joshua went back and said, listen to me now. This is going to sound crazy from a military strategy standpoint, but I'm telling you, I've talked to Jehovah God. He has told me that this city is already ours. All we have to do is follow him in obedience. See, this is God who calls those things which be not as though they were. This is the God who said in Isaiah 46, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. I calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Joshua said, you remember that. Now, he hadn't spoken those words yet, but he's the same God that would eventually. And beloved, when God speaks victory, the victory's already won. When God promises deliverance, deliverance is coming. Joshua 6:20, we'll just skip on over all the details, but they did what God said. They walked around the city for 7 days, and then in verse 20 it says, on that seventh day the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I love that. It said, the wall didn't just fall down, Brother Mackey, it fell down flat. They didn't have to dodge boulders, and they didn't have to dodge bricks. They didn't have to climb over portions of the wall. The wall fell down flat. You think about what could have happened if they had taken the city some other way. If they'd taken a battering ram, or if they'd taken some gunpowder, let's just say, if they had it in that day, which they didn't, but somehow miraculously found something that would explode, and they go up to the city and they put a bomb in the wall and it blows up, okay? You've seen those movies like that. Lord of the Rings being the one I think about when the bad guys are trying to take that fortress of Helm's Deep, and they put a bomb in there and it blows up. It's this old jagged looking ragged thing that you still got walls here and walls there, maybe a little wall in the middle, and they got to climb over and around and under. These walls fell flat. The way was made clearer by God than a man could ever have made it. Isn't that what happened on Calvary? Jesus said, it is finished. The bars of sin fell down flat, never more to bind us. Oh, I know here in this world, this time world, we get all bound and under bondage to sin. Sometimes we put ourselves there. But the walls of sin have been cast down flat for eternity. He didn't make it a part way. He didn't partly breach the wall there at Jericho. He didn't partly breach the walls of sin. The walls fell down flat. You see, the lesson here is that you can follow God with confidence, but you must follow him in faith. And as, again, that's the reason they call it walking by faith. You can't see the outcome. You just have to trust the Lord. When the Lord has spoken, you can trust him to deliver. And it's times like this here. It's times like when these children of Israel came to the walls of Jericho that our faith is tested most. And it's in the crucible of these trials that we learn obedience. and that God's true nature is revealed to us. He shows himself once again to be the deliverer. See, this is real important, and it's something I forget all the time. We're not called to obey God because it makes sense to us. Because frankly, there's a lot of things that I've done in my life that made sense to me that turned out to be a big mess. And there's some things, praise God, there's a few things where I followed him when it didn't make sense, but I knew it was his path and it worked out. I mean, not to preach my experience, but I can talk about what happened here at this church. It just made no sense to even think about coming to a church where there was just one member. Now, even though I loved her, I thought she was just barely hanging on. And it was just, you know, almost a fool's errand to just hang out here. She ought to go somewhere, find a place where there's more people. Find a place where clearly there's more signs that the Lord's working there. Hanging on in a little place like this, why would I ever join here? And yet, when I did, it made no sense. But, oh, it made all the sense in the world, spiritually speaking. You see, we're not called to obey God because it makes sense to us. We're called to obey God because he is God and we can trust him. You know, that's what acting in faith is, isn't it? It's just doing it because God said so. Now, I'm thankful. He tells us, he shows us sometimes. He's delivered us here. He's manifested that he knew what he was talking about here at this church. He was preparing a revival here. And his purpose for my life was to be part of that revival. But I have no illusions that I could have gone my own way and someone else would have come here and experienced this great revival and I would have missed out on it. You know, God's not going to abandon his people because one of us is unfaithful. Praise God for that. You know, when Moses struck the rock over there, he was being disobedient, but God brought water out of the rock anyway. He was merciful to his people, even though Moses was being disobedient. But when we follow God just because he says so, we're acting in faith. We're saying we trust him. You know, and you can trust him. Can I say that? You can trust him. Can we agree on that? You know, he is a trustworthy God. See, we don't just serve a Zeus that sits up on Mount Olympus with a lightning bolt ready to zap us. We trust Jehovah God who says that we are the inheritance. Jacob is the lot of mine inheritance. That his people he loves with an everlasting love. It's a people he loves. It's not just a people he said, you know, I'm going to save these and get them up here, but don't bother me with them. No, he loves us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he has drawn us. It is an eternal love that began in eternity past and will continue through eternity future. And he loves us better than our parents could ever even love us. I can't imagine anybody loving my children any more than I do, but God does. God does. He loves us. Here's a primary point as we bring this to a close tonight. Victory comes from God, and you can trust God to deliver. The people marched around the city, but God is the one who destroyed it. And all their job that day was not to bring results. Their job was to do what he said. His job was to bring the results. You know, I've faced some Jerichos in my life. Have you? I'm sure you have. I've faced walls that seemed to stand as imposing obstacles before me. I'm sure you have as well. If there's a Jericho in your life, have you looked to see what God says about your situation? See, we ought to be seeking counsel from him. He said, he told Joshua, I have given the city into your hands. There may be a verse of scripture directly on point here in this word of God that shows you how he's going to deliver you in your particular situation. Are you seeking counsel from His Word? Are you faithfully attending His church? You know, what about asking advice? You know, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And he's talking about godly counselors. Are you seeking advice from godly friends? Are you committing the issue to prayer? Are you staying in fellowship and meditation with the Lord? See? Look to see what God says about your situation. And then ask yourself this. This is the hard one, okay? It's not hard to just pick up the Bible and read. You can read here and you can usually find the answer. Sometimes it's a little harder to answer this question. Are you willing to follow God's command? Are you willing? Are you willing to act on His Word and just trust Him for victory? Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." There's so much to unpack in that, I can't do it in one sermon. But let me just say it this way. He's saying here, you trust Me with every situation of your life. Don't lean on your own understanding. Yeah, He's given you a mind to decide whether to get up, you know, set your alarm for 7:30 or 8, but He's given you directions to be on time for work, you know. He's given you some liberty to do some things. He's given you liberty to go fishing, but He's told you to be in church on Sunday morning, right? He's told you, he said, seek first, but not only the kingdom of God. It's okay to enjoy a ball game. It's okay to go enjoy some recreation. But He said, first of all, you seek Me, you see. And then He said, if you'll acknowledge Me in all my ways, I'll direct thy paths. That word direct in Hebrew, it means to make crooked things straight. You know, I've been on some of those mountain turnbacks. Brother Tim has too, and our family has. Get up there going up in the mountains, and it's crooked, crooked, crooked. If you went straight up the mountain, probably take you 5 minutes. It takes you 2 hours to get through those crooked turnbacks and all that. You know, if you go your own way, some of the roads in this world are just crooked, crooked, crooked. God will bulldoze a path for you in many situations. Now, I'm not saying every situation is going to work out the way you want it, and all the material things you want are going to be there, but He's going to spiritually guide you in the right way. Are we willing to do these things every day? That's my problem has been in the past, is sometimes I just sort of put it in neutral on a normal day, but it's those rough days, I've got to get over here in God's will. But He's saying every day, even when it feels like you aren't getting anywhere, even when it feels like you're spinning your wheels, you keep on keeping on. He said, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap if you faint not. But if we faint, we're not going to reap. If we fall aside, we're not going to reap those things. Here, that's here and now. That's not working our way to heaven. That's the blessings of the kingdom here. Keep walking in faith, even though it feels like you're not getting anywhere. And trust His judgment instead of your own. See, that's what the children of Israel did here. That's why it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. I mean, it was the power of God. But God allowed them to exercise their faith in following Him. And they learned the most important lesson that you can learn in life. And that is that God can be trusted. He knows what He's doing in every circumstance of life. No matter how we may view the situation, we can trust Him and what He says.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, C-H-R-I-S-M-C-C-O-O-L @gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.